Okay, Shalom, my boy, say Shalom. This is what I want to do tonight is unusual in terms of the nature of the Vaad, and also is a little bit different in terms of what we generally do, because I don't feel tonight like I'm really coming to discuss things in an authoritative way. After we discussed last week, Sunday, we spoke about the understanding that these times place upon us a call to be connected, to be attuned, to be operating with an understanding that there's a constant call from Hashem being leveled at us. We want to be responding properly. I was approached by quite a number of people with the very sensible question of, so what does that mean, Lemaisa? What does that mean, Lemaisa? So we said in a very general way that you want to be upping your performance. You want to be understanding that, yes, Hashem is moving, expects the world to be moving up to a certain, up a notch, expects all of us to be moving up a notch. And we want to be doing that. So the question is, okay, so what should that look like, Lemaisa? So there also we listed a whole bunch of different areas to bear in mind. So again, the question was, okay, so how do we do that in practice? What should we be picking? What? So I obviously can't give an authoritative answer to that, but since a number of people were talking to me about it, and I figured, okay, we're going to have to sit down and talk about it, I figured, let's do it in this forum. So we're kind of like, I'm going to call it Talking B'chabura, and I'm going to be the spokesperson right now. I'm going to share my personal feelings. I'm going to share the way it's been moving through my mind. So that's really all this is. That's the extent of the authority here. I'm sharing the way it's been in moving through my mind. And this is somewhat arbitrary, but it may be a b'chin of ten l'chocham v'yemch kamoid. You may figure out where to take it on your own from here. Okay. So we discussed, first of all, a number of general awarenesses that we shouldn't really be having these days, that we should be moving away from all of these events, moving forward. I think that's the better term to use, moving forward from all of these different events with a few basic awarenesses. One, as we discussed, is the Kabbalah. I think that we might say is mamish number one, because that's probably mamish achiyuv that's mutl on us, being mekabel things properly, being mekabel what's going on, bowing to it, and taking it a step further, learning to be comfortable in a world where Hashem is raising to a level where he is more of the balabais. This we discussed at length, right? We'll call that the enhanced stage of being mekabel. So what I would like to suggest here is that what we want to try to do is find a few places that we can nail in as reminders. We want to find a few places to hit that can retain these awarenesses. Now, I want to also stress another point, that this is perhaps the most important preface here, and that is that we've been through an exhausting year and a half. And we keep hearing about how you have to be connected, but it gets exhausting and we get worn down. So we have to appreciate the value of understanding that we need to be operating in a high level. To keep the inspiration up is very difficult. I'll say even more than that, not necessarily in our hands. We are human and we have human limitations. None of us. So here's where I want to go, and I want to give. I'll use two examples. There was a point where we were saying Avinu Malkeinu in Shul, and it was recommended. There were many of the shuls were saying Avinu Malkeinu. We were saying Avinu Malkeinu here in Shul. And what is Avinu Malkeinu? Avinu Malkeinu is about 3 minutes, right? It takes about 3 minutes. And people asked me, we're so worn down. Nobody's really connecting to it right now. I was at a point where it was like just one thing after the next. And, you know, invite to be doing, invite to schools closing, invite to, and then in and then out. And And people were saying, you know, we're not holding by this now. I was saying Avinu Malkeinu, we're barely managing with the basic tefillas. We're not inspired now. We're saying Avinu Malkeinu now. What are we doing? So my feeling on the matter was, and this is what I was explaining to anybody who wanted to hear it, was that exactly on the contrary. Exactly on the contrary. We are acknowledging that it's hard for us to be operating now with a lot of inspiration. But you know what? We also realize, I'm talking back at that point, now it's a little bit different, but that back at that point, that obviously when the world is in the matzav it was then, and again, Baruch Hashem, now it's different, but when the world's in the matzav where that was then, it cannot be that Klal Yisrael is not responding with tefillah. So we have a bit of a catch-22. We're humans. We're expected to take things lefi our madrega. But on the other hand, the story of Tavshin Pei Aleph was the Corona matzah, right? And we're going to look back at Klal Yisrael, Tavshin Pei Aleph. Wouldn't it be humiliation that Klal Yisrael wasn't even davening at certain points? So how do you bring the two together? So Lechaira, and this is what for me what the Avinu Malkeinu was. It was exactly on the contrary. We can make a statement, Kiviyachol to Hashem. We understand that we need to be enhancing our tefillos right now. We don't necessarily have the koyach to be infusing fiery tefillos, passionate tefillos. We're worn down. We're human. But you know what? We're going to stick in that Avinu Malkeinu to show we know we need to be adding our davening now. On the contrary, Avinu Malkeinu is painless. 3 minutes. Okay, that could be, depending. I shouldn't necessarily say that it's painless on everybody's cheshbon. But we're talking about 3 minutes. Do it mechanically. Do it mechanically. What's the value of that? The value of that is that I'm keeping myself conscious of the fact, and I'm also kiviyachol showing Hashem that I know that these are times that we have to be davening, even if I'm not really holding by doing it with the full vigor and passion, right? So do it mechanically. And there's a lot of value to that. Appreciate the value in doing that. Appreciate the value in when I'm just not holding by it. So I'm showing Hashem. This is kind of what, you know, Rabbi Meir Zilberberg reported this in the past. He calls it a minchas ani. It's that not to necessarily depend on the fiery, inspired feelings, but to be able to say to myself, I know that this is a matzav that calls on me. I'm worn down. I'm not feeling inspired right now. So I'm just going to do certain things that don't require major energies that I don't necessarily have right now, that don't require major inspiration that I necessarily have right now. So that was the value that I saw in Avinu Malkeinu at that point. On the contrary, because of the fact that it was hard, we don't want to come and say, so you know what? At that point, Klal Yisrael wasn't davening at all. We were doing what we could. We were doing something. And that has a lot of value. Even if just, again, to be able to, as the door of Tavshin Pei Aleph, right? When history is reviewed, they say, Tavshin Pei, the Jews of Tavshin Pei Aleph, what was going on then? There's no davening going on. So number one is, the point that I'm making is, let's be able to appreciate that if it's hard to retain, to maintain the inspiration, to be able to appreciate not having it depend on that, and to be able to appreciate that doing things without inspiration is very valuable. In a lot of senses, the inspiration is a gift. It's not an avoida, right? We try to carry it to whatever extent we can. We try to connect to the feelings, but to a large extent, the feelings of connectedness, the passion, to a large extent, it's a gift, right? The avoida is the realization, right? Knowing, being connected in my mind to what's going on now, whatever feeling I can muster, I'll muster. But other than that, to be doing things to show myself and kiviyachol, klapei Hashem, that I understand that now is a time for more tefillah. So, I'm not going to even say that. What I'll say is, the way this has been going through my mind, and again, that's what I'm sharing tonight. I'm not offering a authoritative stance here. I'm not even suggesting. Saying people asked me, so this is the way it's been going through my mind. Is to try to find certain places where I can tack on, if we'll call it, reminders. So, what I might suggest in this sense is a good place to tack on a reminder again, this is what worked for me. This is mamish. This whole everything we're discussing, I'm going to keep repeating it obsessively, but is a bechin of ten lechacham ve'yachkam oid. I'm not giving authoritative suggestions based on svar. This is what worked for me. This is what I'm trying to work with. The beginning of the first brach of Shemini Esrei. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchok Elokei Yaakov. Let's just stop there. Let's just stop there. Baruch atah Hashem. You bow your head. Right? You bow at Baruch. Rabbi Avigdor Miller said that Baruch actually connotes, besides blessing, it actually denotes, it's also from the word berech. Berech. Baruch. We are, our knees are bent before you. It's expressing figuratively, whenever you say Baruch, and also literally when you're actually talking about the beginning of Shemini Esrei, you're actually bowing, right? You're expressing, I am bowed in humility before you. I'm bowed in gratitude before you. So here is a good place to just tack on that certain awareness of, I'm bowing to you as in, again, Hashem, you're asserting your sovereignty on this world. And I now am bowing my head. I'm saying, Baruch atah Hashem. I'm bowing before you. I'm submitting myself. I'm submitting myself. Elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. Let's add that also. I'm not going to go further in this bracha. I want to keep it small. It's mamish like more bibchinas, a reminder, than avodah and kavana and our tefillah. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, you throw in here. How in Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, what does Elokei Avraham mean? Hamashgiach Avraham, right? Elokei is from the Lashon of Hashgacha, right? You were Elokei Avraham in the sense that now we can open up a Chumash Bereishis and see how you ran Avraham Avinu's life, right? How you manipulated his life, how you moved it where you wanted to move it for what you wanted to make out of him. Same for Yitzchok and the same for Yaakov. So I'm saying, I am submitting myself to you. Elokeinu, just as you were Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. Now, in hindsight, we see how their whole life was Hashem moving it here, moving it there, to lay out the program for them becoming who they were. So I'm submitting myself to a similar plan. I'm submitting myself to the same plan. So that's one suggestion, if you will. And that's one awareness. That's one awareness that we're trying to retain. That awareness of submitting to Hashem's will, embracing it, embracing as a lichatchila, to exist in a world happily, where Hashem runs it according to his tune, and we dance to his tune. So that's number one. Number two, what I would like to suggest, and this is also to bring in a different place to tack this on as a reminder, is, like we said, this is not just about the tzaras that we've been through, but it's also about the chasadim that we've been through. Both equally are expressing Hashem's more intense involvement in this world. And he's showing both, right? He's been showing both. We have to note that. The chasadim and the fact in where we're holding versus the rest of the world as far as the magefa goes, right? And the chasadim in terms of what we experienced in this last little war, right? Like we were discussing, there was this confusing mix of chesed and din. So part of the call here is to be living that chesed, to be living that chesed, to be walking around with a feeling of being alive, a feeling of experiencing Hashem's chesed. After a year like this, we should appreciate more, we should feel more the fun of being alive, the thrill of being alive, just being. Right? So, and being given a chance to operate in Hashem's world, to appreciate that privilege. So what I would like to suggest here, and I'm going to skip the disclaimer I've been inserting repeatedly, is that, again, this is how it worked for me. To take one of the Birkas HaMitzvahs, if the island thinks it'll be better if we move back there, we can move back there. But if everybody's okay, we'll continue. Okay. Okay. To take one of the Birkas HaMitzvahs, just for myself, I've been putting the focus on the first Birkas HaMitzvahs of the day, which is almost one of the first things you say in the day. If you're learning before you're going to shul, you'll be saying Birkas HaTorah before that, right? But one of the first things you're going to be saying is a Birkas HaMitzvahs. So here's the same thing. Do the same thing, but in a little bit of a different sense. We talked about the Baruch Atah Hashem of Shemoneh Esrei as a Baruch Atah Hashem of submission. Of submission to Hashem's will, of submission to Hashem's anhaga, right? So here, take one of your Birkas HaMitzvahs and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher K'dishanu Mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu, as in, I am bowed in gratitude before you for giving me the opportunity, for giving me the privilege of being in your world and doing your mitzvahs. To appreciate, it's part of what we should be getting out of this whole last year, to appreciate the value of a day of life. To appreciate the value of a day of life. And this is part of the awareness we want to be getting here. You know, for somebody who's not connected to our system, the thought that it's not permanent is depressing. The thought that it might be tomorrow is devastating. If a person knows that it is tomorrow, there's nothing to live for today. There's nothing to live for today. But you know what? We want to approach it with the understanding that if you, as a neshama, were granted a day of life in Hashem's world, you know what value that is? You know how much wealth you can gain in a day? We in Olam Hazeh, there's a medrash that calls it Ashirin. We're rich. We're surrounded by opportunity for profit and wealth, right? So, to appreciate this, to appreciate the fact that over the last year and a half, many people, this opportunity was taken from them. We are here. We're here, and we want to be living with that chesed, especially also on the individual level and on the level of appreciating what Hashem did with Klal Yisrael, with Eretz Yisrael, right? It's something not to get used to. It's something so big that Eretz Yisrael is at the front of the world in terms of where Corona is holding, right? With the din, this is where we're holding. So to invest that into a bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvoisav. I bow my head in gratitude. I bow my head in appreciation. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude of the fact that you gave me the chance, to operate in your world and to gain what a moment of life has to offer, to do a mitzvah, to do the mitzvah of Netilas Yodayim, to the mitzvah of Netilas Yodayim. Whatever other Birkas HaMitzvahs you'll tack this onto. But the first one of the day is easily marked. But again, this is a bechina, this is a suggestion. Okay. Another point, and this is as far as the nekuda of that is actually, people brought this up last time, of connecting when chalila, there are tzaras, when there is din, to connect to the pain. If Hashem is chas v'shalom, if we'll use the example of Miron, giving a makkah to Klal Yisrael in the form of 45 special karbanas. So if we want to be a part of where Hashem is taking the world, and if so, we want it to hurt. Right? This is what we discussed. We want that to hurt. We want to say that, yes, those makas were not those 45 people. It hurt me, the fact that pain extends to me too, to be connecting to the pain. So here also, I would like to suggest a way of just, again, in a technical way, tacking on a certain reminder. And that is to try to keep aware of a few of the names of people who still need Yeshuas. Names of people we have in our neighborhood, Rav Yosef Israel ben Chaya Michal. Have we moved on? The family hasn't moved on. I would think that the Matzei Shabbos tefillos that were going on, I would like to suggest this, that it be sustained, even though, like, there seems to be, it could be that people are saying, okay, again and again and again. You know what? Dafka for that reason, like we said before, to come out for the 20 minutes, 25 minutes, without necessarily still feeling as fired as we felt at the time, just in order to show that no, we don't want to move away from it. We don't want to move away from it, right? But I'm not talking right now about the 25 minutes of Tehillim. I'm talking about take a few of the names. Don't take too many, it will be overwhelming. But take a few of the names to be conscious of and to insert them into your Shemana Esrei. And again, to perhaps to say a parak of Tehillim if the davening. These are things that are easily done. I'm going to be giving a number of suggestions now. I don't mean necessarily to take the whole list. I'm trying to give suggestions of technical, easy-ish things that we can do to keep ourselves conscious of where we want to be, to keep ourselves conscious of this reality. So this is awareness number three and the practical suggestion. To have a few of the names, to be aware of a few of the names if you want. There is Yaakov Ben Gittel from what happened in Karlin, who Baruch Hashem was originally hospitalized in critical condition. I'm hearing that there are improvements now. But to take 2, 3, 4 of the names and to daven for them, and to whatever extent you can, to follow what's going on. Then you're remaining connected to that also. So we discussed three things meanwhile, right? We discussed retaining, suggested eitzes for retaining the sense of, I don't want to move away from that awareness of Hashem running the world. I want to be in a world that's moved closer to Hashem. There could be a few layers of world now at this point. There could be the world that stays closer to Hashem in that sense, in terms of what Corona achieved, of sensing Hashem running the world. And there could be the world, a layer of world, that will sink back to basically where it was beforehand, right? So again, we suggested an exercise of keeping a part of that world. We suggested an exercise of appreciating the chesed of being in Hashem's world, operating in Hashem's world, and giving the opportunity for what it means to a Jew to be given the gift of a day to operate in Hashem's world, expressed in one of your Birkas HaMitzvahs. And remaining connected to the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael have been through by keeping track of a couple of the names. Even if it's in a technical way. And along those lines, again, the suggestion of perhaps a Perek of Tehillim after David. Now, I'm going to again stress that as we're going to be piling on suggestions here, the idea is to, we're trying to operate in a long-term kind of way, right? With a certain setting up for a marathon rather than a sprint, right? So the idea is to try to connect to things that can be done in a technical kind of way, more for the purpose of keeping ourselves reminded of what's going on and where we want to be. So now, here we come to the next obvious shlav of the discussion, and that is what we talked about, that relating to this all is a call for improvement, a call for coming closer, a call for heightening our level of performance. And here again, we'll repeat what we brought up last time. So what is that supposed to mean, b'fayal? So as we said, we're hearing many calls as to what we need to be mechazikin. So we're not going to relate to it as in, what is it that's kiviyachol Hashem is not happy about that needs to be improved? And that's the issue of guessing what exactly it is. But rather, we prefer to relate to it in the way the Rambam puts it, that, again, this is a call for us to take ourselves up a notch. Hashem wants the world. Hashem is trying to elevate the world. If we're talking about elevating the world, then among the different things that mentioned, all make sense, right? What was mentioned? Yischazkus in Torah. That should be obvious. That should always be on the top thing of at the top of our list when we're talking about improvement. Yischazkus in Tefillah. It also should be obvious. That should be in the way a Jew's mind operates. Tzara's call for Tefillah. Bein Adam LaChaveroi. Again, should be obvious. Tznius, the Kedusha of the world, also should be obvious. And again, we're going to get back to these things, Bli Neder, to discuss a little bit more. Diktuk in Halacha is always something that, if there's a call for improvement, find the areas of Diktuk in Halacha that need improvement. Mussar. Mussar is the way of actively connecting yourself to what you need to be connected to on a regular basis. I would also suggest, right, this was David HaMelech's Mahalach of brachas. We mentioned a few particular brachas, but as a Mahalach of putting more effort into brachas. Now to try to break it down a little bit more, The way, again, saying again, the way I've been connecting to this was a little bit different than the way perhaps we would connect in let's say, Yom Ben Roy. Again, since we're talking about, we want to go with a gentle touch in order to try to sustain this, right? So, you know, when you have the Nesiyas Yisharim talks about Cheshbon HaNefesh, he talks about two aspects of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Yimashmesh B'maisov and Yifashmesh B'maisov, if you remember correctly. Yifashmesh B'maisov is the more classic Cheshbon HaNefesh. What are the problems that need to be fixed? Yimashmesh B'maisov, the Nesiyas Yisharim says, means taking stock of the good things that are going on. Everybody okay? Everybody say that? It's okay? Not distracted? Taking stock of the good things that are going on, right? So what I would, again, not what I would suggest, doing this, the repeated semantics. The way this is hitting me is, the way this is working for me, again, not an authoritative suggestion, etc., okay? Is a tightening of the system, rather than taking on new things. How can I bring myself to my maximal performance? So if we're talking about Torah, it obviously means quit your job and aim for 17 hours a day. No. Tightening the system, meaning let me enhance my commitment. The stirring that I do have, let me take down the flexibility a little bit. Let me put in an extra effort into maintaining them rigidly, or more rigidly. If I always allow myself a certain level of flexibility, and we're all in a matzah where we need to do that sometimes, perhaps now be a bit more rigid about them. And this is for us men. For the women, it's really the same thing. To be a bit more as far as the husband's learning goes. I want to stress what the Maharal says, right? We know that for the man, the major, the primary source of schus is in your Torah learning. That's where you most intensely connect with Hashem. Not consciously. Consciously, there are other things that are more inspiring and connect you more. But in terms of what's going on in your neshama, in terms of what your ultimate, your true standing with Hashem, the main connection is coming through your Torah learning. The main enhancement of your neshama is your Torah learning. And Chazal, we know that that's what a man needs to reach his shleimus. For a woman, the way the Maharal frames this, and the Chazon Ish also does, for a woman, women in a certain way are created spiritually higher than men. And they don't need the full process of Amal HaTorah to get to where they need to get. But they do need that effect, meaning they need the effect of Amal HaTorah on their neshama, but they don't need the process of Amal HaTorah. This is how the Maharal explains in Maran Brachas, so I can get into exactly. And they get that effect by, at the very less intense form of encouraging their husbands and children, being a part of their husbands and children's amal process. So here, what I would suggest is, again, to the women, if to the men, we're talking about intensifying your commitment to the learning you're doing, right? Not talking about adding who knows how many hours, etc. Intensifying your commitment to the level you're doing. Taking up the level of the rigidness to a bit. So to the women, it's to accommodate that, perhaps also a little bit to cut out time that perhaps you can tell your husband, I'm going to exempt you from this. Again, don't completely let go of your lifelines in terms of the help in the house. But if perhaps at certain times you can say, you know what? I want this half hour. You would ordinarily be helping me with this. You'd ordinarily be doing that. I'm going to give you this half hour. I want you to be in the Beis Medrash learning. That's a suggestion. Another suggestion is, and again, because anyway, I'm not talking about real chidushim, but about tightening our own system. If there have been things that you've been thinking about taking on, meaning, I'm not talking now about taking on new things, but a lot of times, part of our process is that there are things that, ideas that we're playing with for a while, and it takes a while till we implement them. The mayor knows how that works with Magid Shiur. So it takes us time to implement them, and it's like, I will next week, next month, to get around to it. This would be a good time to do one of those things, to take one of those things that I've been thinking about doing. It's reasonable, makes sense, just haven't gotten there yet. Now might be a time to say, Im lo yachshav eim osa. So that's another suggestion, and I'm applying this to Torah learning, but you can apply it to the other areas we've been discussing also. The next thing that we mentioned was tefillah. So tefillah here also, I'm not going to talk now in terms of if you can aim for passionate, inflamed, inspired tefillahs, go for it. That's certainly the first place to start if you can enhance your kavana. But I also want to talk in technical terms, in terms of offering, if you will, technicalities. So now might be the time for chizukim in things like whatever minyan I'm going to go to. Again, if I'm usually a bit flexible with the time, I will make a point of being in there at the official time that the tefillah starts, already inside with my talis and tefillin on. That extra effort, for me, it means leaving the house 10 minutes before the start of that tefillah. Figure it out, whatever it is for you. Perhaps this is an area to nail in now. Another thing, and these are things in general we all want to be doing, just that the grind, perhaps now is time to give focus to the Din in Shulchan Aruch, that Pesukei de Zimra should be said word for word. Again, we'll be honest with ourselves. We can start by saying a full Pesukei de Zimra, meaning this might be insulting or it might be relevant. But if sometimes you get into a grind where corners are cut on Pesukei de Zimra, so perhaps now is the time to say, now I'm dedicating myself to a full Pesukei de Zimra. I'm going to get that full Pesukei de Zimra. Again, once you're doing the first part, the second part will come also. With a little more awareness of the Din in Shulchan Aruch, the Pesukei de Zimra should not be said rushed, it should be said benachas, kemoy nemois, like a person counting money. Now this is important, because it does not mean saying it very slowly with a lot of, meaning you should say it very slowly with a lot of dveikus, but that's not what mayna mois means. And this is why when we're talking about perhaps certain technical approaches, this could be a good technical approach. Mayna mois means, if you count money, you're not, so you picture you have a wad of bills. I should have notified also that we'd probably be going later. Now it's not probably anymore, but feel free. There's no test. If you have a wad of bills, and you're counting a wad of bills, you're not doing one, two. What you are doing is you make sure not to slur. Because if you do things a little too quickly, we've all done this, right? We've all done this. You do things a little too quickly, you lose track. You counted twice for one bill, right? Or you counted a couple of bills when you said one number. And now you have to go back and start counting again, right? You all done that? I've done it plenty. So how do you count money if you don't want to be doing that? One, two, each bill and each number that you enunciate is distinct. So this is what we're talking about with Pesukei de Zimra. Each word is distinct. Word, 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 word. I had a Rebbe who used to say that we all say, Hoydu Lashem Krishma Loisel. That was like a Yesoid, Ha'emunah by him. That all kids say Krishma Loisel and they shouldn't. That never changed. We kept hearing that throughout the year, how we all say Krishma Loisel. Hoydu Lashem Krishma Loisel. So some of us didn't, some of us did, some of us changed as the year went by, maybe alerted to us, but that stayed a Yesoid. That was like one of the Yesoidus I wanted throughout that year. We all always say Krishma Loisa. I'm just using that as an example. We can sometimes do that with other words, right? We'll just use that example. It can be straight. It doesn't have to be slow. So the Zimmer would probably take, if you're doing it in this way, at a reasonable pace, 10 to 12 minutes, 15 minutes, which is allocated for Pesukah Dezimra, gives you time to mamish say it in a decently, at a decent pace. So that might be another suggestion. So we talked about Torah, we talked about Tefillah. Kedusha, we can't get around that, even though it's from the less popular and more ridiculed subjects. Lack of tzniyus is a reason for tzaris. It's a reason for siluk hashchina. So, again, we're not talking here to a tzibur that... But, again, what I would suggest is, again, if we're talking to women, if there are the things that are more borderline, you have plenty in the wardrobe, but there are the two or three things that are a bit more borderline. We're not talking about dramatic things, but maybe say, now, those things I'm not going to wear now. Those things I'm not going to wear now. Other things also, for all of us, for the men, women, particularly in the workplace, is more awareness of the proper conduct between genders. We should not be completely Hamish with people of the opposite gender, even if we have to be interacting with them. This is very relevant, could be very relevant in the workplace and in other settings. We should not be completely Amish. There should be a certain inhibition. There should be a certain formality. In fact, in Halacha, it says that you can't be Mekel Roish in the presence of an Erev. Mekel Roish means to act frivolously, not even necessarily when interacting, but like there's a certain abandon that should not be happening when you are in a setting with the opposite gender. A certain inhibition, a certain formality. Again, I'm not talking anything too extreme. Maybe you think I am. But I'm suggesting, again, tightening this system. I'm not talking about doing anything who knows what. I'm talking about a certain tightening of the system, a certain awareness of these things, a reinforcement of these things. And also, yes, as much as it's already been discussed, and as much as it's coming out of our ears, to be conscious of the fact of how much the technology, how much pirtza that has caused, and whatever tightening up we can do in that realm also should be done. Okay. So, then we talked about, okay, Torah, Tefillah, Tzmias, Benodam Lachaveiroi, Benodam Lachaveiroi. We can go on and on and on. So again, yeah, Kultu. Again, we're not talking drastic things now. We're not talking drastic things per se, but a tightening here also, a certain tightening in Menodam Lachaveiroi, and awareness. What I would suggest here also is to say, first of all, of course, this starts in the home. And if it ends in the home also, it's fine. Right? In the home, with our spouses, with our children, with the people we're living with the people around us. More of an awareness, more of a sensitivity. The way we talk to them. I would suggest, though, that if we're talking about trying to actively tighten things up, to actively enhance things, to think a little bit more in terms of Asay Toiv. Think a little bit more in terms of Asay Toiv than in Sur Meirah. Sur Meirah is very important, but it's not something that you can decide to do something. You can try to be conscious of it, fine. But Asay Toiv is something you could decide, I'm going to try to do this once a day. You can more regulate it. So a good word, as simple as that, deciding I'm going to say a good word to my spouse, something complimentary, and to children also. All too often, we get into a grind, the daily grind, the day-to-day rush. It can just turn into technical instructions, which are often, you know, impatient, rushing, don't do this, don't do that. This can mamish take over our communication without even realizing it. It's not you mean to do that. Counter that by actively and consciously deciding, I'm going to make a point of saying one, two, three, I'm going to look for good, positive things to say, positive feedback about different things, which is really the essence of chinuch. I'm not going to get into that discussion right now, but that actually is the essence of chinuch, to be noting the good things about your children and commenting on them. And spouses too. We talked about Diktuk Halacha. Just heard of David say on Shabbos now that I think he put it something to the effect that if you just want to be normal, you don't want to be flipped out and extreme. So that means keeping most of the malachas. It gives me keeping most of the malachas. The Bayer is ready for kitzoniim. Bayer is for fanatics. Right? If you want to appreciate that, I have to ask him, Steve, how many more weeks is that going to be? Still a while till we get to Bayer, right? Okay. Visual is even afterwards. Okay. But a bit more away here, again, if I'm going to talk about starting to learn halachas more, probably the first two most relevant areas would be Shabbos and Brachas. But I wouldn't even go so far as doing that, because that already might be something big, right? What I would say is there are the areas of halacha that we realize that we're a little bit lax in and maybe should be tightening up a bit. To tighten up those areas, that's all. That's all. Simple enough. The areas that we already know, I should be more medactic about this, more medactic about that, without starting to mamish learn v'chule v'chule. Of course, if you want to do that, I'm not the one to discourage that. But I'm saying if we're talking simple, what I would say is consciousness of the areas in Diktuk Halacha that I know I really should be more medactic in, and to decide I'm going to try to tighten up the system there. We talked about Musar. Okay, right. This is once again about a little bit every day of something that's going to inspire you. We discussed before, your primary source of schus is not from that learning. It's from your hardcore Talmud Torah. But you need to have that also. And that actually is what's going to enhance the value of your Talmud Torah. The little bit, even if we won't say every day, but to be connected on a regular basis, however you'll define regular right now. And you probably all have your concept of regular, that sometimes we do more, sometimes we do less, to try to be tightening up, that system a little bit too. Now again, like I said before, I'm going on and on here, but what I'm really doing is it's ma'am mokayim hulach. I'm trying to convey a way of thinking, a way of approaching it. It's not necessary. If these examples will serve you well, take these examples. But if not, get the idea. Take it from there. One other thing we mentioned is particular attention to brachas. So here I'll just give a little tip that they used to say in Kel. Before you make a bracha, to think, take a couple of seconds and think two thoughts. To whom am I making this bracha? And for what? Those two simple thoughts. 3-4 seconds before you make a bracha, and you'll be enhancing the bracha very much. And I'll just tie this up by saying that the way Reb Shimshon Pinkus put it, when he was talking about David HaMelech's takana, right? We know that David HaMelech made a takana of saying Mea brachas every day, 100 brachas every day, in response to a magefa, right? In response to a magefa. So this is how Reb Shimshon Pinkus put it, and I think that the relevance of it won't be lost on us. The magefa was, and this is mamish the way of thinking that we've been talking about the whole time. He said the magefa was Hashem saying, you're forgetting about me. You need reminders that I'm in the picture. I need a reminder that I'm here. The 100 brachas are 100 short ways of keeping in touch throughout the day. Asher yotzar, shehakol, throughout the day, you're regularly making brachas. What these are quick, short getting in touches, right? Getting in touch with Hashem for a moment and moving on. You do it in a bigger way in each tefillah. That's really what Rav Hirsch has a beautiful essay on that. The Kuzari talks about this also. Each tefillah is reporting back to Hashem, getting back in touch with Hashem. You're here on a mission from Shemayim, right? But you report back to Him 3 times a day. You get back in touch. Then you move on, right? So in even a smaller way, that's what the bracha is, keeping in touch. 100 times a day, sprinkled throughout the day. Again, am I talking now about making sure to keep track of all 100 brachas? Again, not necessarily. But a little bit of focus there can go a far way in enhancing our awareness. So again, let's just tie this up. What are we trying to do here? What we're trying to do here is find exercises, find means of retaining the awareness we want to be retaining, find means of staying in the higher place that we should be at this point, not be going back to where we were beforehand, being part of the elevated world that Hashem was trying to get out of this. So that was the first part of what we were discussing. And the second part of what we were discussing was, what does elevated look like in practice? Again, Ten Lechacham V'Yechkam Oid, these were all in terms of broad direction. Bezos Hashem, we'll all find a way of doing it, and to take it, give Hashem the nachas that he's waiting to see. Kol tov.
That's your power. Thank you.
Bukhim to you.